No, that's what I didn't want to do. Talk about transitions. No easy segue there, but I would like to welcome our listeners to this Out of the Box special, which is brought to you by the good folks at Kalahale Chiropractic and Ching Yung Village. So here we go. We want to say mahalo to our underwriters for making this possible, and you, the listener, supporting our community radio.
Kalahale Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalahalechiropractic.com.
Ching Yung Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Ching Yung, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
There we go. Thank you for your support of Kauai Community Radio. And we are just coming on the heels of a celebratory anniversary party. We got this that we're going to let Amy Goodman celebrate with us.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global unembedded independent international news hour. And from the studios of Democracy Now! In New York to the studios of KKCR, a very happy 20th birthday. Congratulations, everyone.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, 19.9 FM Hanalei, 91.9 FM Islandwide, 92.7 FM Anahola, Malawa'a. I live in Malawa'a, 104.7 Oahu.
I just love that. And yes, you are listening to Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you. We have an open door policy, but go ahead and shut that and mahalo so much, Kiana, some for moo radio right for you on a Thursday afternoon. And we are sandwiched in between the evolution that will be evolving at 6 o'clock and the mystery train will depart at 8, followed by the Loco Moco special with the Commodore at 10 o'clock. So your Thursday evening is rapidly winding up. And our open door policy brings in our first guest on our Out of the Box show from, and let me just make sure your mic is on. Molly, go ahead and talk into that thing.
Test.
There we go. Can you hear yourself?
No.
So get on up a little bit closer, because if you can't hear yourself, nobody out in radio land can either. How's that? A little better?
Let's see. Yeah, I can hear myself
now. There we go. See, I guess I have some radio experience, because I talk right into the sock, like my friend X-Men says, and try to put it out there. Molly, you're visiting from where?
New Jersey.
What exit? No, just kidding. Whereabouts in New Jersey?
I'm from northern Bergen County. Mm-hmm. It's about 20 minutes or 20 miles outside of New York City.
Uh-huh. And what brings you to the Garden Island?
From the Garden State, actually, to the Garden Island.
Thank you.
I'm here, actually, to see the energy infrastructure in Kauai, mm-hmm. notably the solar facilities that just came online with battery here that are so special and unique to Hawaii. And I'm doing this as part of my project, Electric America.
Wow. And so tell us a little bit about Electric America.
Yes. So Electric America is a photojournalistic series that aims to document all of America's power sources. So everything from solar to natural gas to coal and nuclear. It's effectively trying to bring you and me closer to our power plants.
Mm-hmm.
The main goal is to connect the power user to the producer so we can hopefully all understand where our power is coming from and then strive to get clean power.
So let me ask you this. How did you find yourself doing a project like this? What was the, if you will, facilitator or catalyst for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I actually studied environmental studies in college mm-hmm. at the George Washington University in Washington, D.C.
Mm.
And it just became wildly clear that climate change is such a critical issue for this generation and every generation. generation to come.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, energy is such a big part of that, right? Like, everybody has an electricity bill. Electricity and heating account for 25% of all greenhouse gas emissions. So it's a huge role. And
certainly in the developed world.
Yeah. Power is responsible for a lot all over the world. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like it was something that I needed to know more about.
Wow.
So I started visiting wind farms and power plants and tried to understand these systems. And it sort of morphed from a personal education project to a public education project.
Uh-huh. And if I remember reading somewhere, you're a... Oh, gosh, I wish I had it in front of me. I was going to try to boot up my computer. You're a fellows from a fellow...
Yes, yeah.
Tell me more.
So GW, my mm-hmm. alma mater, has okay. a couple fellowships that are open to young alumni and students. So I received the Shapiro Traveling Fellowship.
Wow.
And that enables me to travel domestically and do this project.
Yeah, right on. And so how far along on the project are you?
Yeah, so I am about 5 months into the project. My first trip was actually in March, and then another one, a big one in June, to the offshore wind farm off the coast of Rhode Island.
Mm.
So I took a boat out to the turbines mm-hmm. and got to interview everyone there, which was amazing.
Yeah, I bet.
And so it's basically as long as the money lasts me.
That's good for you.
Which, as everyone knows, is very difficult to manage. Goes mm-hmm. very quickly.
Well, good for you to come all the way out here, kind of midpoint. So at least you've got this expense taken care of. Everything else you can kind of like...
This might be my last... No, I'm just kidding. yeah, so I think I'll do this for at least a couple more months traveling. And mm-hmm. then my hope is actually to turn this into some kind of energy business or media energy platform.
Oh, yeah. Your schooling, your training, your background is in what?
So I studied international affairs with the concentration in environmental studies, but I also speak Spanish and studied sustainability and editing and writing. So I have a little bit of background for sure in journalism mm-hmm. and the arts.
Wow.
So.
Well, good for you to have, if you will, a very diverse background and skills and interests, and then to be able to, if you will, capitalize on your recent success at George Washington to become, you know, chosen as a fellow to travel and find out more about this, if you will, critical component in, we'll say, in the development of humanity. Because without energy, it takes energy to make food. And without food, where are we?
Yes, exactly.
So I'm going to just kind of go back and ask you in regards to some of the projects already. You said a wind farm out on the coast of Rhode Island. Yeah, and where else?
Yeah, so I've been to probably at least 10 states doing this project.
Mm-hmm.
So one was Rhode Island. I also stopped in Massachusetts. But one of my biggest trips was around the mid-Atlantic, going through south. I actually drove to West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a couple of coal fields there. I went to Alabama to this natural gas plant that stores energy via compressed air in salt mines under the ground. It's wild. And then
is that a closed loop system, or what is that like?
Yeah, so it's actually the only facility in the country that's operational at this scale, and basically it makes producing electricity from natural gas more efficient. So
mm-hmm.
you have to use less gas when you compress the air at night and store it underground, and then basically it gets released up. So you use electricity to pump it underground, but then it's so compressed that it easily flows up, and that it enables a really quick turnaround to produce the electricity, so you can start it up fast.
Does it have any of the other associated environmental harms like fracking and wastewater issues?
Yeah, I think in general there's really no free ride with energy, but there are better rides and cheaper rides
mm-hmm.
and
more
funner ones,
ride.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, of course, there with natural gas, anytime you're using that, you're going to have pollutants associated with both the extraction and the combustion of the gas to
mm-hmm.
produce the electricity.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely using less of it and doing this compressed air energy storage helps with that footprint.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Let me ask you, in some of the, if you will, projects or different models, schemes, what are the promising ones? What are the ones that you're kind of really stoked about, or the ones that were like, wow, that is so cool?
Yeah, so actually Kauai is an amazing example. And
tell us more, because I think a lot of our, if you will, listeners and our consumers might not be that familiar with what's going on.
Yeah, so Kauai is such a cool example because you guys have actually increase the number of renewables in your portfolio substantially.
Significantly,
yes. The island used to be powered only 9% by renewables, mm-hmm. and the rest by diesel. Now it's at 40% only a couple years later, which is an amazing improvement. The country, as United States of America, has not made it that far, right? Like, we have maybe 13% of the whole country is powered by renewables. Mm-hmm. And Kauai is 40%. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So today I was actually in Lihue, and they have a new solar site with batteries, and it's able to power 4,500 homes, which is phenomenal.
Considering that we, I mean, maybe you know, I don't know, how many homes do we have on Kauai?
I think that the spokeswoman at Kauai Island Utility Cooperative said that there's about 20,000 homes or mm-hmm. 25,000. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure of the number, but...
That's believable.
Sounds about right.
Given our population being about 80,000, okay, that's, you know, less than four per home. But back to our scheme here, and maybe part of the reason why folks on Kauai are not as in tune with what's going on is we've had a number of new solar developments. So back mm-hmm. to how well Kauai's been doing in the last maybe 7 years, could be even less. We've had number of solar installations that have increased our capacity, and then the following year another one that doubled that, and then
right.
So we've had this kind of exponential growth, if you will.
Yeah, and I've also seen a lot of rooftop solar, which is pretty exciting as well, because that also empowers the homeowner.
Yeah.
But this specific one that I was at in Lihue is really specific and amazing because it's one of the biggest battery installations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So Tesla partnered with Kauai Island Utility Cooperative, and together they built this farm and battery facility that allows the solar to be stored. So at night when it's not sunny, you can use the electricity that's been created by the solar during the day, and you don't need to keep importing the same amount of diesel.
I mean, how good is that?
Amazing.
Right.
They actually have a number, which I found pretty stunning. That one solar farm actually displaces 1.6 million gallons of diesel each year. So it's like if you had your Tacoma, right, your truck,
mm-hmm.
and that has about 20 gallons tank. So it's like you didn't have to fill it up 76,000 times each year.
Wow.
It's a lot of diesel that mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. island used.
Yeah, a diesel that we didn't need to have bought over here on a barge that maybe could be better used for other purposes. And, you know, thinking about the future, your desires, your project, what else are you going to see while you're here on the islands? Are you done with Kauai, or is your Hawaii, or your anything else in the? Are you going to visit some of the geothermal fields on the Big Island, or the?
That's my next. Mm-hmm. That's my next destination. So mm-hmm. I'll probably check out the geothermal on the Big Island.
Mm-hmm.
I might go to a ranch that has some solar as well here on Kauai.
Mm-hmm.
No, those are the main things. A couple other islands in Hawaii have a lot of wind, but I don't think I'm going to make it this trip. So it gives me a reason to come back.
Right, there you go. Maui, I think, is pretty far along on that scale of energy production for their utility. What do you think? Have you done any research in regards to the cooperative model that we have here on Kauai?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually had asked the spokeswoman there about the cooperative, and I think it's an amazing model. Basically, the idea of not having anyone to serve except for your customers and your employees, for me, is such a refreshing model because it sort of aligns the incentives and has long-term positive impacts for everyone mm-hmm. because you're not worrying about shareholders and a certain level of profit for them. So I was asking about that, and she spoke about the leadership of the cooperative and how they were so forward-thinking and progressive. And I found that across the board with cooperatives on Block Island. I found it in at the Alabama power plant the one that has the natural gas with the salt mines and compressed air, all of those were cooperatives. And it was just so amazing that so many of these diverse energy companies in diverse places all are able to do amazing technological and progressive things. Possibly in part because of the cooperative model and how they're really focused on serving the customer.
Right. I think that's one of the things about member-owned utilities, which is what our cooperative is.
Right.
You have a significant say in whether it's just choosing the board of directors, which
right.
is what we primarily, our big function for members here, besides paying the rates every month. But, you know, at different times, there are questions that are brought before membership. And do we want to favor this? Do we want to pursue this? I think a long time ago, there was a push from community as well as, having directors that were willing to kind of push the envelope. I'll name a few. You know, Ben Sullivan, who works with the county now, Pat Geegan, Jan Tenbergen-Kate. I think even before Jan and Ben were on, Derek Kawakami was pushing the envelope for our cooperative to really get away from the diesel, to look at what are the alternatives to just buying a new diesel generator, but to look at some other things, and we'll get into some maybe the, I don't want to say controversial subjects related to energy, because there's a number of them. But what are, I guess, in the places that you've been visiting, have there been community pressure, community awareness of, well, you know what, this isn't so right for you guys to put your waste right here, or to go ahead and cite these things here without consideration of other factors?
Yeah, I think with any new infrastructure, and specifically energy, sometimes people get really riled up. And they should. They should be interested. They should be engaged. But it's challenging to present all the right information. There has been other places where offshore wind has been considered, and communities have basically said, we don't want it in our line of sight, or, this is a nuisance in some way. But on the other hand, they're not located next to a coal plant, right? So maybe if they were actually knew where their power was coming from and saw those impacts, offshore wind would seem like a blessing, right? So there's a lot of information that's really needed to bring the community on board and facilitate this transition to a clean energy economy. But yeah, I can definitely speak to other places where there's been pushback or challenges have been overcome. And whenever I see that, it's always good and inspiring for the next community that's facing challenges of their own.
And Kauai isn't absolved of that, or we're not unique in that sense. That we have some proposed power schemes that would impact water resources that others would find to be unacceptable, whether it's just the degradation of the environmental surrounding areas or the loss of habitat that action might kind of facilitate. There's a, I want to say, what is it, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission?
FERC.
Yes. So there was a process that our utility engaged in, and it was a couple years back, and what was a little controversial in nature in that it brought in this, if you will, outside entity that really doesn't have a lot of frame of reference with our local water resources. And many local activist groups were concerned that was, kind of unnecessary to bring in another level of oversight, another federal government at a local level where already we have issues at play, dynamics, whether it's the fact that there, and maybe this isn't something that you've done much research or known about, but the illegal overthrow of the Hawaiian monarchy in 1893, it's not something that on the mainland we learn much about, but mm-hmm. you move here and you find out more about that and how there's some hard feelings about that, and yeah. then two, legal standing and some legal processes being enacted to reclaim what was once whether it was the crown or lands that had owned belonged to families, royal family, I guess. So there's that level of kind of tension, mm-hmm. and then you have environmental concerns that you know, if we do this type of development, whether it's energy development or housing, we're going to talk a little bit about the general plan update and what's going on for Kauai and that process later on in the show. But all of these things, as you're aware, as a student of sustainability, of how they're interconnected.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that in general, most processes are better off when they're interdisciplinary, just because you're not going to face a given issue that doesn't affect multiple groups in multiple ways.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to the cooperative model, I just think that wherever you can get community engagement and really get locals involved, the better result it's likely going to be.
Right. And I think there is discussion at other islands, other communities, what they might like to see happen with their utility. If they were able to adopt a model similar to Kauai's, if there was a opportunity to buy out, I think it's HECO and MECO and the different entities that are profit-driven, investor-owned utilities, and there is where the controversy on Oahu recently was that the utility didn't want to let more solar panels be put on the roof because it was, if you will, affecting their bottom line.
Right. Yeah. I think there are a lot of aspects of this transition, right? Like the clean energy transition. In general, it's kind of known that there's a lot of technology that already exists that can be implemented,
mm-hmm.
right? I recently was just at Stanford speaking with Professor Mark Jacobson, and his whole thing is how it's technologically and economically possible, but we have a lot of political, social, and cultural issues that really are barriers to making the transition. So I think, yes, there are certainly technical things to figure out, and Kauai is figuring them out right now as we speak, figuring out frequency regulations, making sure that they're providing reliable power with these different sources and managing their assets. But ultimately, I think that it's a transition that can happen and is happening. So it's just whether you have the vision and the resourcefulness and creativity to really keep up with the technology and keep up with the demand of that we need clean power.
Mm-hmm.
From your leadership and your vision, all your stakeholders, whether that's government or utilities, the utility model will certainly be affected. It's hard to abandon assets, for example, coal plants or other things, if they wanted to make more money off of them, mm-hmm. or if they invested 30 years ago and
right.
it hasn't paid off how they exactly thought it would. So there's definitely requires a lot of creativity and new ways of thinking, and you just need leadership that's in line with that, that has those values.
Mm-hmm. Now, where do you see that leadership coming from?
I think a lot of states and cities are doing great.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of mayors who have formed coalitions to implement clean energy policies, set the agenda. Atlanta is a good example. New York as a state has developed an extensive program to go toward renewables. Obviously, Hawaii has as well. But what I have seen in the past, so these are all the places that are really making their power sectors cleaner, but the corporate sector has been surprisingly amazing. I would never advocate for relying completely on a corporate citizen or partner to make sure that we are doing the right thing. However, with that said, there are a lot of companies that have said, we want to be powered by renewables. And when I was in North Carolina, I saw Duke Energy Renewables' largest facility, which had 465,000 solar panels. Huge, absolutely huge. You look in every direction, it's only solar. And that was developed because Lockheed Martin and Corning said, hey, we want to make a power purchase agreement. We want to buy solar power. We're going to decide on a fixed rate for 20 years. We're going to build the plant, which is such a refreshing thing to see when that does happen. And you have these utility scale solar facilities, which are impacted by tax credits and all sorts of other things. But ultimately, corporations are stepping up, and that's also great.
So we are speaking with Molly Molly Seltzer. She is a visiting fellow from George Washington University and doing a special project, if you will, focused on energy. So welcome and thank you for joining us here on Kauai Community Radio. Tell us, how did you find out about KKCR?
KKCR, let's see. So my cousin Teddy actually lives on the island, and he has his family has cloud water tea farm, if you're familiar. And we were just listening to the radio and mentioned a couple public radio stations, and this seemed like a good place to reach out to,
to get in touch
with the community.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you made it. And what else are you going to be doing, or what would you like to, are there some things in our conversation we haven't talked about that you'd like to bring up to emphasize for the listener?
Really good question. I think it's just pretty critical. I know people don't really get it, but for the consumer to know where their power comes from and to be advocating for clean energy, whether it's that by having solar on your rooftop or just knowing who your leadership is on the utility side, clean power is really going to be a big part of mitigating and adapting to climate change and communities that are affected by storms or all these things usually have more reliability when renewables are online. So I just think from an economic and an energy security point of view and a wellness point of view, the renewable sector has so much to give. And if we're ready to take it, it's here for us.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that in regards to, well, two things that stand out. Just the fact that knowing where your power comes from. Right. I mean, I think that we're discovering, you know, more. This is not so much energy specific, but it is kind of sustainability related, that there's a desire for the consumer to know where their food comes from.
Right.
And that it's clean, and to know the products that they consume, that they ingest, whether it's our health and beauty aids or it's the water we drink, that they're of good quality. And we know kind of like that they're made in a way that's helpful, not harmful, and that when we use them, we're going to be okay. And our energy is we're now understanding, like, there's some choices there.
Right.
And some critical choices.
Right, exactly. And that's really what I wanted to focus on for this project, because it seemed like there had been so much transparency in development around supply chains and in all of these other sectors, and farm and eating and shopping local. But you didn't really think about local power. And that's something that I think is really important, especially because electricity does impact your water and your air, especially when it comes from fossil fuels. It takes a lot of water to produce a lot of electricity. So it really intersects with a lot of parts of, with areas that other people, that people value.
Okay. So, Molly, I know your time is probably precious. I've got a phone call of somebody who is going to make a report from the Big Island. And I'd like to keep you here if you'd like to stay longer. So you're welcome. Okay, cool. I have a visiting another guest, and she might not be listening right now, but Miss Kauai is going to be joining us here in the second hour. But she's here already, so she might join us sooner. So we can, if you will, we can make a party of it, but we could have more than just yours and my voice on the air. I'm going to bring, I'm going to play this because it is right about the midpoint of the first hour of the show. So I'm going to play one of our messages, our PSAs that we play, and then I'm going to bring Brada Eric up from the Big Island. And for folks who have been following stories last week, I think, and Brada Eric is going to help us out understand it a little bit better, what was the decision in the 30-meter telescope and the Mauna Kea developments there last week at the, I want to say it was the Supreme Court, but I could be very wrong. So hold on, we're going to play this first and then bring Brenna Eric up.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
There we go, listening to you, and hopefully at the moment we are listening to you. Brother Eric, are you there? How about now? Brother Eric.
Oh.
Oh, you can hear us.
Hey.
Oh, right on. And how are you, my friend?
All right.
All right. Recuperating well.
All right. Hello?
Yellow.
Okay, we're all in there nice and good.
That's good to hear. And you're recuperating well.
Yeah, we're getting there. One day at a time. Just got to love up the body and everything.
Mm-hmm. Have fun in the water. Some therapeutic sessions with Dr. Kai.
Dr. Kai and the therapy.
Good to hear you. Good to hear your voice on our community radio. And I asked you to, because I know last week, was it Thursday or Wednesday of last week, the court proceedings were happening?
It was September 20th that the BNLR, the Board of Land and Natural Resources, had their hearing regarding their approval for moving forward with the development of the 30-meter telescope on Mauna Kea. And it wasn't till I believe the 28th of the month that the Board of Land and Natural Resources came to a final decision of a vote of whether to move forward or to not move forward with the development of the telescope. So on September 28th, the board had voted 5-2 to move forward with the development, with two people voting against the development. One of the persons was a man named Stanley Roerig, who actually had to, what is the legal term here?
Recusal
of himself.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason with this guy, Stanley Roerig, why he had to recuse himself and pretty much not be able to vote is the protector's attorney, the people who are against the development of the 30-meter telescope on Mauna Kea, during this hearing, they had brought up that Mr. Stanley Roerig has a conflict of interest and that him and his family had leased hotel use property to Chad Warfield, who is the president of a quote non-for-profit entity known as PUEO, or Perpetuating Unique Educational Opportunities, which is essentially a group of individuals who I don't know if you can legally say they lobby for the 30-meter telescope, but they are a group of advocates that say that the educational opportunities that will be given from the 30-meter telescope are very important. So the one voting board member, Stanley Roerig, had to not vote, even though he was very much in support of the telescope, but it was not only brought up by the attorneys of that were against the 30-meter telescope, but during the court case, or I'm sorry, it's not technically a court case hearing, but during this hearing, Mr. Stanley Roerig had pretty much tried to wheel and deal his way into making sure that what he wanted, the university would give him. Mm-hmm. And so literally there was this moment during the case where he's like, I'm not going to vote for any of this kind unless you guys make sure that we take care of the Hawaiians, and I want to make sure that the Hawaiians, blah, 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 blah. But really what he was talking about is you guys, as in the University of Hawaii, who's, you know, would be, who is the people who are in charge of the land where the 30-meter telescope would be on Mauna Kea, Stanley Roerig was asking them, hey, are you guys going to give into demands of Pueo, who are these advocates for the telescope? And those demands are in line with Mr. Roerig's land leasing to Pueo to be used for their endeavor. So he had to let himself go. And then actually the opponents of the 30-meter telescope, the one attorney, Dexter Kayama, who is a attorney for Kahea, which is the Hawaii Environmental Alliance, he had also brought up that another member of the BNLR who was on this this hearing, Mr. Sam Gan also should have recused himself. And for those of you who may be familiar with the name Sam Gan, Sam Gan is the cultural advisor for the Nature Conservancy and also their, I believe, lead biologist is the right term that he has been designated. But Sam Gan, it was brought up by the Kahea attorneys that Sam Gan also has a conflict of interest because Sam Gan was working on a project on Palmyra Atoll for the Nature Conservancy, and the largest financial contributor to that project was the Moore Foundation, and the Moore Foundation gives a tremendous amount of money to the financial support of the 30-meter telescope. So Kahea, the Hawaii Environmental Alliance attorney, who is an opponent for the 30-meter telescope, brought up that Mr. Sam Gan should recuse him via should be under what is the term recusal. Mm-hmm. Other words, just saying step down, no vote right now.
Right.
Sam Gan, had to let himself go. Stanley Roerig had to let himself go. But it's also interesting, and it wasn't brought up by the Kahea attorney as much, but another person who works, who is on the board of the Land and Natural Resources for this hearing was Ms. Suzanne Case. And Ms. Suzanne Case is now head of DNLR. She used to actually be working for the Nature Conservancy. And from my understanding is that she also worked on that same project that Sam Gan worked on, where they were getting financial contributions from the Moore Foundation. The Moore Foundation is promoting the 30-meter telescope. I guess Suzanne Case, because now she works for a different entity, it's not, quote, as much of a conflict of interest, but clearly that is something that could be a conflict of interest.
Sure, right, so, right.
So right now, the vote finally turned out to be 5-2 for moving this project forward with the development of the telescope. Had Suzanne Case said, hey, I get one conflict of interest too, or somehow that had been really put forward.
Disclosed
Sam
early
Gan
on.
Sam Gan had also said, oh, bruh, I'm not going to vote for this, and, step down, you would have had two other people essentially have a no vote, right? So you would have went from a 5-2-4 vote to 3-4
opposed
of the telescope not moving forward, mm-hmm. based on the fact that essentially three of the board members couldn't vote because they're strictly based on their own conflict of interest. So in summation, there was actually only one board member who voted legitimately and actually passionately felt that this project should not move forward. So that's my initial notes from what I saw.
Well, Brother Eric, I appreciate you reporting from the Big Island and letting us know a little bit more about how this has kind of come about. I was going to ask what going forward, what does your second page of notes look like?
Well, I actually took a bunch of notes. If you bear with me here, I can kind of read down them for you.
Yeah, no, please do. We're joining the booth. Aurelius is answering the phones. I have Miss Kauai, Megan, and Susan just joining us. She's going to be, on the hot seat here soon enough. At 5 o'clock, Councilmember Mason Chalk is going to call in and talk story a little bit about. He's got a little bit of time to share an update on yesterday's proceedings from the general plan update. And Molly Seltzer. Is still waiting patiently. We're talking about energy, so we're going to draw it all together by the time we go home, and the evolution is live on your community radio. So, Brother Eric from Mokokiavi, thank you for joining us, and good to have you on Out of the Box again.
Right on. Mahalo, Jimmy. Aloha Kauai. So, just to kind of also talk a little bit more about this contested court case hearing. So, I got there at 8:30 in the morning. There was a copious amount of police officers outside of the hearing. You would think there was maybe perhaps a riot that happened. Nothing bad happened at all. The most amount of cops I've ever seen in Hilo at one time
was just security.
There was, I have over 12 cop cars that I documented down, 13 officers, Hilo police officers on bicycles outside of the meeting. There was an additional 4 Division of Land and Natural Resources cops, along with the head of the DNLR arresting officer, Mr. Kamakao, who, if any of you are familiar with him from the arrestings in 2015, he was there. And then there was a bunch of other police from DNLR and from the Hilo Police Department inside. So I wonder on that day where all the other police were, because they seemed to be pretty much all centered there.
At the courthouse.
Interesting how when we have these police officers everywhere, it's the most peaceful situation. Nothing bad happens. But c'est la vie. There was a couple different petitioners that had spoke and brought up some pretty good points, and one of them I'd like to bring up was by Ms. Deborah Ward, who had brought up the fact that the 1970 management plan and the 1985 management plans for Mauna Kea, which is never happened, and then in 1998 there was an audit who showed how there was failure of these management plans by the Office of Mauna Kea Management. And there was no financial resources given to make these management plans happen. There's only been one telescope to date that has actually followed the National Environmental Protection Agency's causes, and this is only after a lawsuit given by Hawaiian practitioners. And also to note, since 2015, the DNLR, Division of Land and Natural Resources, has had 4 lawsuits brought against them relating to this TMT development on the mountain. So another thing that was interesting, in the previous contested court case hearings, Judge Amano, who was the hearings officer, which led up to this current situation that we're in, she was cited as being wrong in her final decision by not applying the public doctrine. So essentially, Judge Amano said that public doctrine does not apply during the development of a telescope on a mountain with a huge aquifer. Because she said the public doctrine only applies to water, and that this was not the case with the 30-meter telescope development.
So that was the judge, that the special judge, the retired judge who was asked to rehear the, if you will, the petitioner's, if you will, opposition to the granting of the permit. Is that who you're talking about?
Correct, sir. Mm.
And so they said the public, he said that the public trust doctrine
doesn't apply in this case, and it would apply if it was something like regarding water.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't make sense because Mauna Kea
is at the top of the watershed.
where water is.
Right, right.
The moku of where Mauna Kea resides is called Ka'ohe. Ohe is, you know, a kino lau of a manifestation of Kane, Kane being the god of water. So pretty much within the definition of where Mauna Kea resides, it essentially means the water holder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, I'm not, you know, Mr. Scholarly Hawaiian, but it doesn't take a PhD candidate to figure out the implications of what this means. So also the Hawaii Environmental Alliance attorney had also brought out that Jim Hayes, who did the final EIS and also the application for the conservation district use permit for the TMT, was unqualified, and during his EIS, there's the draft EIS, draft environmental impact statement, the environmental impact statement, and then the final environmental impact statement. So when he made the second EIS, he had let go of the idea of putting a no build clause in the TMT environmental impact statement. Essentially, when you do an impact statement, you have to bring all these different options on the table. So he had dropped the option of not putting the telescope up there, which may have been a better environmental impact. And then the final one, when put it on again, they put it back in there. So it's kind of like the guy was playing tricky. And then there's also a petitioner by the name of Hank Fergerstrom actually denied his due process rights on the 5th and 14th Amendments. And this was during that same earlier court case, contested case hearing with Judge Amano, where Judge Amano did not let Mr. Hank Fergerstrom have his witness be brought to the stand, if you will. So he had sent a witness, or he, on his own money, brought in a witness from Oahu, who was coming in that day, was on the list for like 3 months, and then that's like, oh, sorry, you can't do his thing. So there's been numerous points throughout this current hearing, previous contested court case hearings, which have over and over again showed, I would say, the people who are doing this on their own money being denied their own inherent rights, and those who have choke money, i.e. the 30-meter telescope development corporation, they can just make this thing work for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's where they're at right now, it's not where, you know, we're going to see another stand up on the mountain just yet. We probably will. But before we get there, the Mauna Kea protectors, those who are against the development of the 30-meter telescope corporation, they're going to be taking this back to the state Supreme Court. And so it's kind of shame on the Board of Land and Natural Resources, because before all this happened, the Board of Land and Natural Resources, the state Supreme Court said, hey, before you guys go forward, Board of Land and Natural Resources, you guys need to follow these criteria or else you're going to have hoo-hoos again. And the Mauna Kea protectors had brought this up during this BNLR hearing. So essentially now we're going to go back to the protectors. We'll take the DNLR back to the state Supreme Court. State Supreme Court is going to slap them down again and say, bro, what are you guys doing? You didn't follow the rules again that we asked you to do, so please, do we have to start over again, kind of thing. So we'll see where that goes, but this is before, you know, we see another heavy standoff on the mountain, it's going to go back to the state Supreme Court. So, you know, besides that, I could just say that there was a lot of positive energy. Everyone was really pono and peaceful. We'll see where this goes. And I don't know, Jimmy, do you guys have any other questions or anything else I can elaborate on?
Let me ask Aurelius any questions for Brother Eric.
Well, I do want to acknowledge a caller that I took who had some, while you were talking, Eric, had some questions about which, well, he had Hello? One. Can you hear me?
Go.
Oh.
Eric, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right.
What's up, brother?
So we had, hey, what's up, brother? We had a caller that expressed displeasure with a certain representative, and I told him that we don't promote nor talk bad about any political person, but are there some representatives that you feel would properly represent this issue? How do you feel about the way our elected officials are handling this?
Well, the from what I understand with this Board of Land and Natural Resources, they're not elected. I think they're just elected.
But Eric, you still there? Oh.
Okay.
Here we go. Now we got you back.
After seeing this process and hearing about Sam Gong, who a lot of us who come from the conservation environmental field really looked up to, and I think a lot of cultural practitioners, not all of them, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but there was a lot of people, and, you know, I went to school for, you know, environmental protection and graduate of UH, and everyone always is like, oh yeah, look up to Sam, you know, he's the kind guy that bridges the gap between Hawaiian culture and Western science. And, you know, after what I saw him vote on that, and Sam Gong had already voted in a previous BNLR hearing that he was already pro CMT, they already did this twice now, and I never knew that. And like, I'm gonna tell you, like, most that I went to school with and a lot of people that are even older were really surprised. And so I don't want to say there's no hope in anything, but, you know, you got to really be we just got to be really mak'ala and watchful. And this is why it's really important that people take an active participation in their government, or else, you know, things are just going to turn into the hoo-hoos that we have now. So go out, register to vote, take an interest. That's all I can really say about that.
Okay, but, well, Eric, we do have a caller that wanted to ask you just about that public participation. Caller, are you on the air?
Yes, I am. I'd like to ask, brother, if was it a good turnout there for the people who were opposed to the telescope? I mean, were people showing up?
Oh, yeah, it was huge. That's a really good point. So it was so crowded that
there's an echo. Somebody needs to turn their radio off.
And you had to take a like a deli ticket. Like, you're up at the deli counter, and like there's like, you know, you had to wait till another person came out. And so for me, the hearing started at 9. I was there at 8:30. It was already so packed that I couldn't get in. And then it took me till about 10:30, then I could get in. And then once I got in there, at first it appeared that maybe 50% was for the development of the telescope and 50% was against that Tecta Mountain. And then within about 2 minutes of hearing audience applause during certain people's speaking points, it was very clear that at least 2/3 were for protecting the Mauna, and maybe 1/3 was people who work for either the TMT or another telescope corporation. And, you know, some of them I do know from my own works and, you know, coming from Hawaii Islands. And you can tell, oh, those guys, you know, they work for one of these entities, whether it's the TMT or someone else. And it didn't really, at least seem from my observations, that there was, like, people that were genuinely public supporters that had no interest or, you know, no vested interest or some working arrangement already up on the mountain that would be there for the development of the telescope.
Right on, Brother Eric. I got Miss Kauai, Megan Ansu, she's a UH grad, and I'm going to bring you into the conversation, Megan, if you don't mind talking a little bit about this issue of the 30-meter telescope on Mauna Kea. What do you think of that? We talked a little bit about this earlier this week. What do you think?
So yeah, this is a problem that was going on definitely when I was still in school. Mm-hmm. I graduated May 2016, and so TNT was definitely something that was coming up from even late 2015. I remember talking about it when I ran for Miss Kona Coffee. And honestly, this is just my point of view, is that when I go up there, there's a lot of telescopes that I feel are not even being used. And mm-hmm. so just the thought, when it was just starting off, being like, oh, we're going to make this new telescope, a big telescope. It's like, well, why? There's so much that are not working or not being in use. And then that was really an alarm to me. Mm-hmm. And being that Hilo was definitely a home for me for the 4 years that I was in school, it definitely, it was really hard to go about that. And to realize that right now, this is October 2017, still going on as an issue. That just shows that the people of Hawaii definitely want to fight for this and mm-hmm. definitely want, just don't want the 30-meter telescope. Mm. That's how we feel, and that's why this is such an issue going on for a long time, is because all of our passion towards keeping Mauna Kea is really to our hearts.
Mm. Right on. Brother Eric, you know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's really interesting. You, Tito was bringing up all the telescopes that aren't working, and, you know, the UHS, they have a decommissioning plan where they're going to take down one or two telescopes. But really, what does make more besides the fact of, oh, there's all these telescopes that aren't working, and when them, the UH only has the lease for the land do telescope until 2030. So let's just say next week TMT can move forward and no protesting, no craziness was up on the mountain again. It's going to take them at least like another 2 years to put the telescope up, and then the telescope can only run for 10 more years before the thing needs to be decommissioned and like all the telescopes need to be taken down. And UH says they're not planning on extending the master lease for science for telescope work. For me, I feel, you know, and I don't know about you, is that doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's so much nonsensical things going on, and I think people have they're playing some more games we're trying to realize, but it's really powerful, you know, to know what's going on, and I'm going to leave it with the idea that it's not just a few Hawaiians that are opposing this. It's not just a couple guys up on the mountain. It's Chok people, and especially, you know, if you come to Hilo, and especially as Miss Kauai said, is you know, in Hilo, it's pretty prominent that like this is definitely something, a huge movement, and it's not just few people that are cultural radicals or anything like that. So again, thank you for your time. I don't want to take any more of your guys' time this afternoon, and mahalo to
you. Hey, Brother Eric, thank you so much, and we really appreciate the update and look forward to having you here back on the Garden Island and back in the booth at Kauai Community Radio. Brother Aurelius, thanks for filtering through those phone calls. We will definitely be continuing to follow this story, if you will, because it's a big one, important. As you said, Megan, it's like, you know, an indicator that the folks on the Big Island aren't just going to let this happen. And so obviously there's going to be some court cases and some legal actions being taken up. You are listening to Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you, here on the North Shore at 90.9 FM, 91.9 FM island-wide, and 92.7 in the Anahola Moloa'a area, and streaming worldwide at www.kkcr.org. I'm Laura Christine. This is the Out of the Box Show, and it is brought to you by the good folks at... Here we go. Who's our underwriter for this show? Let me find them, because they're right here. Oh, we have some visitors, little guests in the house, live on radio. Hold on. Let me get that.
Say hello.
We have one of the cutest volunteers.
Hi.
Hi, Ainalani. How are you?
Good.
Good. Thank you for blessing us with your presence today. And also, over the airways, we have just been admiring your announcements for both our birthday party as well as this. I'm going to play this right now, and you're going to tell us afterwards how fun it was to play this.
You are listening to KKCR Honolulu. K-A-Q-A Kilauea. 19.9 FM. M. Honolulu, 91.9 FM Island Wide, 92.7 FM Anahola, Moloa'a. I live in Moloa'a, 104.7 Oahu.
Right on. Ainalani, thanks so much. Sharing with us here on the station that loves you, putting the you in community. That's what we do. And we want to thank the good folks at, I thought I had it pulled up here, and yeah, I guess I should look at my chart before it goes any further. Hawaii Life, they were up here somewhere. There we go. Tahiti Nui, Hawaii Life. Hey, Kalamai, for botching the top of the hour fun stuff. But we do want to say mahalo to Hawaii Life and Tahiti Nui. This is how we get it done. You, the listener, and our underwriters making it all happen for the community radio station called KKCR.
Neil Norman represents buyers and sellers of properties throughout the Hawaiian Islands. Neil is grateful for Hawaii's continued embrace, supports organic farming, beekeeping, and sustainable agriculture, and stands with KKCR on its mission to provide a much-needed voice and forum for Hawaii's diversity of cultures. Mahalo.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
Yes, and that's a big mahalo for supporting Quiet Community Radio. It's about 5:08 or 5:07 or something like that. We are stepping into the second hour of the Out of the Box show. Before I go any further, I do want to play this.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
And I want to play this.
The Kauai Fire Department is currently providing free training to all island residents that are interested in becoming a community emergency response team member. The CERT program trains residents to become self-reliant in the event of natural disasters such as tsunamis, hurricanes, and flooding. The next 24-hour CERT training starts on October 4th at St. Catherine's School in Kapa'a. For more information, go to kauai.gov/CERT. Again, kauai.gov/CERT.
Well, there you go. So community involvement, it's kind of one of the things we try to encourage around here on our community radio station. And Megan, Souza, thank you for joining us, being patient. And you found us easily, it seems like.
Yeah, the big tower gave it away.
The big tower gave it away. I gave similar directions to Molly, and I'm glad to see you came as well. There was, every now and then, somebody ends up on the golf course, or we'll get a phone call or a text. most times it's, oh, the gate's locked. Can somebody open up the gate? But obviously you guys made it before the 5 o'clock deadline.
Yeah.
Thanks. Now you guys are stuck until the Commodore leaves at 10 o'clock. We're here, but Slim's bringing dinner tonight.
Trapped.
And we will talk a little bit more about our fun drive coming up very shortly in the coming months. We're going to be asking for your love and support. It's the way that our community radio station operates. We don't have commercials, but we do have underwriters, community sponsors, supporters that help us keep the lights on and the air conditioning happening, and also just members and listeners who like what they're hearing, whether they're visiting and they're driving in their rental car on the way to the end of the road to see the sunset, or their longtime Kama'aina have been listening for a while and love Hawaiian music, or the fact that we have surf stories on Wednesday nights, or all kinds of crazy stuff on Sunday afternoons. Tuesday in the afternoon is when it gets really wild, but we're here on a mellow Thursday. So, Megan, thanks for joining us. First time here to Kauai Community Radio?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And were you surprised to see Aina Lani just come in and...
Yeah, she was really cute.
She was really cute.
Unreal cute.
Right? We've been... And this is one of the things about our community radio station. We try to create an Ohana vibe if we can. And so it's nice to see youngsters here.
Yeah, and, I got the family vibe when I got here because this place seems so homey.
I think I described that to you as it looks like a little home tucked away, the cocoa trees and the palm trees and the radio tower. So that radio tower gives it away. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Megan, and what is Miss Kauai? Why is she here at Kauai Community Radio?
All right. Well, my name is Megan Ann Souza. I am your current Miss Kauai USA. I will be vying for the title of Miss Hawaii USA on November 19th. Mm-hmm. It'll be held on Oahu at the Hawaii Convention Center. Should I be blessed enough to win and become your next Miss Hawaii USA, I would go on to Miss USA and then further as Miss Universe. And
wow.
So that's some potential out there. I'm definitely aiming for the stars.
Good for you. And I was surprised to see you with your tiara and your sash and all that stuff. So I'm really glad that that must have made Aina Lani just really like, oh my gosh. Because I think every time she comes up here,
her dad.
There's always something special going on. And that was like one of those special moments to all of a sudden have a real life queen princess in our midst.
Yeah, if I'm gonna make an appearance, I might as well come all out, right?
Thank you.
Totally.
Please do.
Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you, how long is your reign? When did you win, and do you, is this a 2-year term, or do you have to?
No, this will just be the 1-year term. Mm-hmm. I am Miss Kauai USA 2017 to 2018.
Uh-huh.
So I was recently crowned September 3rd, and it's truly been a blessing so far. My reign will be a year, so the next girl will be crowned, I believe, next year, 2018, September. Or if I win Miss Hawaii USA, it would go on to, I would, you know, be
continue.
With the crown for a little bit longer, mm-hmm. or Miss USA a little bit longer than that, you know? So the goal is to keep
your crown
keep
on as
coming.
Long as possible. Well, there you go. Now, obviously, this isn't your first rodeo, right? You've been doing this for, I mean, there's some training involved, or were you just... If you will, overnight
so
sensation.
Actually, my very first pageant I ran for was the Miss Kona Coffee Scholarship Pageant. It was under the Miss America organization, and that was November 2015. So not even 2 years I've been into pageants. So I didn't start off when I was little.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so we have hope for Aina Lani. She's got some time to develop.
Oh, yeah.
There we
yeah,
go.
I definitely recommend.
And Brother Aurelius just passed me the piece of paper that says Mason is on the air. So I'm going to bring up Council Member Mason Chalk. So, Megan, we'll get back to the Miss Kauai and the challenges that are in the future for you. And we'll bring up Council Member Chalk. Are you there?
Hey, aloha, Jimmy.
Aloha, Mason. Thank you. Thank you for joining us here on Out of the Box. I did invite you to just share, if you could, between meetings, a little bit of an update or a briefing as to what happened yesterday and what can folks expect with the upcoming meetings regarding the general plan and the general plan update.
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy. You know, we had our public hearing yesterday. The general plan passed out a first reading and is moving on to committee. So yesterday at the convention hall, we had public hearing. It lasted for about half a day. We had, my understanding, over close to 200 people in attendance, which we're happy about, and took about 70-plus testimony. And, you know, thanks to efficient council services staff, I think that it went pretty smoothly, and we were, able to hear a lot of the requests and concerns about the general plan, which were consistent. We heard, some resounding messages about implementation, about accountability, about water issues, about growth issues, growth management issues, and how do we find that balance? How do we stop, going out of control and living on Kauai, a Kauai that, isn't the same as it was even 10 to 20 years ago, mm-hmm. maybe even 5 years ago. So how do we retain that lifestyle that we all cherish here?
Right.
So I think this, what you'll see moving forward, Jimmy, is as it moves to committee, is really slowing the process down here and really taking our time with looking at different aspects of the plan in our first committee meeting, which will happen next week, and it'll happen at every committee meeting week. So as a council, we meet every other week as a council, and then we meet every other week as a committee. So in the planning committee, which is my committee that I'll be chairing, we'll meet starting Wednesday afternoon, so right after lunch, which will start at about 1:30, and it'll move into Thursday and onto Friday. And the important things to know is we're going to be taking each sector or sectors of the general plan and talk about them one by one. First off, with next week, we're going to be looking at statistics, the data, growth management. We're not convinced as a council that the data that we're looking at is really consistent because, we've grown significantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to be ahead of the margin when it comes to planning on that. We're going to look at the framework. Is this framework for the general plan work for us? Does it meet all the needs? Are the actions there? How can we not repeat some of the things that we have overlooked in the past with the general plan? And then also, we'll also move towards the land use map, which is pretty much the biggest piece of the general plan. It is what planning looks at, is how it is we plan for the use of our land. There have been a lot of changes in the plan since it's come from the Planning Commission. We'll probably relook at some of those decisions and make sure that it's cohesive with what the community wants. And then we'll move into sectors such as transportation and housing. So on Wednesdays, what you'll see is we'll get to some discussion with the planning department on these topics. And on Thursdays are going to be dedicated to the community testimony. So every Thursday of committee, which means every other week, we'll have we'll start the morning off with public testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we have whatever we haven't finished in discussion, we'll continue into Friday. And then if we're lucky enough to get through all of those topics in that first week that's scheduled, then we'll move on to the next set of topics.
Got you.
And we probably won't get to amendments till probably December. But we'll have about three rounds of amendments, and then at the very end, we'll have to get to amendments, because they'll probably all bottleneck at the end as well.
So, Mason, it sounds like you guys are adjusting your schedule to meet, if you will, the needs of communities' desire to participate at a greater level, as well as to kind of expedite the process of deliberations. Because if you just waited for every 2 weeks to meet as a committee, things would definitely log jam up. And then, all of a sudden we're at the holidays, and what kind of progress have we made?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the plan is such an important thing. We don't look at this every 30 years, mm-hmm. say. And so we need to not only take our time with it, but we need to have meaningful discussions. And everything is interrelated. And you can't have one discussion without actually looking at other things.
Right.
So it will be complex in nature, but we want to be sure that not only we get feedback from the community, but that we start to work towards amendments that we know are going to, make a difference for the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm encouraging the public not only to come out and testify, but to come ready to testify on the specific subject matter for the topic that's scheduled, and actually come with specific amendments that they think need to be implemented into the plan. And people can go online and download the plan from the website, our website, the planning website. You can even search for keywords that, in subject matter that you think are important, and if they're actually in the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I've been looking at the plan.
Mm-hmm. And Councilmember Chalk, would you be open to having workshop type of meetings sponsored by the council to present some of the information later on in the process when things have kind of matured or developed a little bit more to help facilitate that exchange of information about what some of the amendments look like or what some of the suggestions are leading to?
Yeah, so interesting enough, what I've worked into our current process is that a big part of what we're doing is identifying resource and people, and that's not just experts in their own, for instance, housing experts, not just including our housing division, but those are around the state and those that we think that we want to look at, like a model housing experts to be a part of the discussion. We're asking them to come. And so I've asked all council members to take into consideration who they'd like to invite and be there as a resource so that we can have a discussion, not just from one perspective of the planning department, but from multiple perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Included in some of those resources are some of the groups that have stepped up and said, hey, they want to participate and just give some input in the discussion. And so you'll see some of these people that are being real active. Which includes some of the neighborhood association members.
And Councilmember Chalk, I know that you've got a busy schedule. Before you go, can you just let folks know what's the best way for them to get in touch with you or the council if they want to provide testimony or find the latest on what the agenda is?
Sure. So, the agendas get posted every Thursday at our council. If you go online to our council website. If you want to submit testimony in writing, which is good, and we see every piece of email and testimony that comes through, you can send it to counciltestimony@kauai.gov.
That's one long word.
You're very clear about. I'm sorry.
One long council word. Council testimony.
Council testimony. Yeah.
At kauai.gov.
And just make sure that in the subject line that they're referencing what general plan or. As it relates to transportation, for instance, that way, we can organize it properly because, as I said, the general plan will be going on easily for the next 4 to 6 months. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, Councilmember Chalk, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to folks here on Kauai Community Radio, and hopefully can schedule another time to get an update as the general plan update process continues. And again, with any other community issue, Mason, the door and phone lines are always open for you. So thank you for joining us here on Kauai Community Radio.
Hey.
Aloha. So we're going to just do one of these things here at the top end. We've got a feature that we do. We don't have anyone online. Okay, good. I got this from our roving reporter with Kauai Independent Media, Monique Rowan. So thanks, Monique, for this week's contribution. We'll play that and then get back to our guest in the booth, Molly Setzer from New Jersey. George Washington University fellow here on an energy research project, and Miss Kauai 2017, Megan Ann Souza. Megan, you're from Kalaheo?
Yes.
Yes, a Kalaheo girl. So we'll get back and talk story with our in-the-booth guests, as well as take phone calls from folks, the listener. The phone lines are open at 826-7771. To get us here. And right now, this is our news brief for the week of 10/5/17.
Mahalo, I'm Monique Rowan, and thank you for tuning in to listen to a featured news story by Kauai Independent Media for Kauai Community Radio in replacement of the news and brief for Thursday, October 5th, 2017. This story includes information and commentary about the general plan, which was a major line item addressed at the county council meeting yesterday in Lihue. From Keiki to Kapuna, GPU concerns were voiced and Princeville was a major topic Wednesday. A crowd of about 200 people were in attendance Wednesday at the most recent county council meeting, which took place at the Kauai War Memorial Hall. The main agenda item of interest during the meeting was the General Plan Update, or GPU, and there were at least 80 speakers that commented on how to improve the draft. The general plan is designed to provide viable solutions to the multifaceted place that is the island of Kauai and is currently a work in progress. About 80 speakers expressed their concerns about the current draft and touched on many topics, such as a desire to end future development in Princeville, especially resorts, concern due to a lack of affordable housing, and discontent with the overwhelming increase of visitors on Kauai in recent years. Currently, there are about 26,000 visitors on the island each day, and that number is expected to go up, according to the Hawaiian Tourism Authority. Middle and high school students from across the island also made a strong presence at the meeting and demonstrated support for concerns in all of these areas as well. Blake Vaughn of Kalihi Wai said there has been confusion and distinctions made regarding proper land usage in Princeville, which goes against traditional Hawaiian laws. Vaughn explains why she says future development in Princeville for businesses and resorts should not be allowed and starts with impacts to the environment.
Activities which have occurred in the area, such as the condos which have been built and the golf course, have significantly affected the reef. It's a sensitive area located to next to one of the largest and once most healthy barrier reefs in the state.
Vaughn continues explaining how local residents have been impacted.
This is a place rare in Hawaii where 12 families, Hawaiian families, still own lands in that area, of 20 who lived on the coast in the 1960s. All but two told us they're struggling. They're struggling because of property taxes from surrounding luxury developments, and they're struggling because of pressure from surrounding area developers who see their lands as exclusive stand-up paddleboarding centers or boating centers or spas and are targeting those lands. This designation makes that so much worse. It makes it harder for our families to maintain their lifestyle and stay in their place, which is so important on Kauai.
While the audience clapped for Vaughn after speaking, lobbyist Ian Jung with Princeville Development LLC and PRW received very little response. Jung demonstrated support for future development plans in Princeville. Fern Anuinui Rosentiel from Kapahi, who previously ran for State House District 14 last year, also spoke out against development in Princeville within the future as well. Noble for the lawful Hawaiian government, Keohokui Kaiuhana, said the general plan must reflect respect and address the needs for Native Hawaiians.
I support a Hawaiian government because we need to make Hawaiian Kingdom citizens again, and only a government can do that. The importance about a citizen is that they own the aina. Okay, so you heard a long list of your citizens, but if they were Hawaiian citizens, they would listen to Hawaiian law.
Noble Kaiuhuna continued by saying Kanaka Maoli, or Native Hawaiians, are not properly being represented in the state, and also said what should be added to the general plan.
And you can start with that resolution I gave to you guys. I hear you working on it. And there's one thing I want you to put in it. Okay? Hawaiian Kingdom Constitution was reinstated March 13, 1999. Please put that in there. It has a lot of power to it. Mahalo.
Felicia Cowden with KKCR was present as a speaker at the meeting, and she and speakers Deborah Johnston and Blue Dukes spoke out in support of adding prison reform to the general plan. Many speakers expressed a need to return the natural flow of water from Mount Waialeale, which has been diverted at Wailua headwaters, in order to reduce negative environmental impacts to the ecosystem. Others expressed concerns regarding desecration of Hawaiian burial sites, and that this is an issue which definitely needs to be addressed respectfully within the general plan. To view the general plan draft, visit plankauai.com. For more information about the meeting, visit www.kauai.gov/council. Written testimonies can be emailed to the office of the county clerk at counciltestimony@kauai.gov. Monique Rowan with Kauai Independent Media was present and files this report. Thank you to Felicia Cowden for contributing to this story. Thank you for listening to our featured news story for today, October 5th, 2017. If you would like to submit a news tip, contact kauai.indymedia@gmail.com. To become a roving reporter, give us a call at 826-7774 or email our volunteer coordinator at vc@kkcr.org.
Right on, and thank you, Monique, for that. We are appreciative of having a roving reporter, having some news and news briefs here on our community radio station, especially during our public affairs programming, because that's kind of our mission. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is engaging our community in more ways than one. And for you, the listener, at 5:30, we have two young ladies that have been appreciating the fact, while other things are going on, you guys are kind of striking a conversation. It seems like you have maybe things in common. Actually, I look at you guys and I wonder, you know, are you about the same age?
Probably, yeah.
Probably.
I graduated from college in 2015. You said 16, right?
16.
So
there we
24.
Go.
23.
There you go.
Uh-huh. Well, and I was thinking to myself, they look like they're about 25. And I'm only thinking that because I know you graduated from college, because I don't want to date myself, but you guys look like you're still in high school.
We're old.
Yeah, and I mean, I work in a high school, so I know kind of what high school students look like. You guys are definitely older than high school students, but it's just great to, one, have, that's not my fault. Sorry, it is.
That younger energy is
that's
so much
my
appreciated.
It's my daughter on the phone.
We're happy to give it.
Yeah, well, and just thinking about, you know, getting involved in the things that you're doing. It's because you're concerned about some of the things that are going on, that you have, you know, some skills and talents that you want to share with others and hopefully inspire some folks to be more involved or engaged. Meg, I'm going to ask you in regards to kind of your role as Miss Kauai, what does that involve? How does that kind of factor into your, if you will, your role?
Well, Miss Kauai USA, I mean, the goal is that I become the next Miss Hawaii USA, and that for me right now requires a lot of photo shoots and video shoots, but I'm definitely blessed with all my sponsors. So I'm definitely sponsored by Island Air and Kauai Athletic Club, Larson Talent Hawaii for my modeling agency, and so much more. And I think that my role is to not only be a representative of Kauai, but be a representative of my sponsors as well as the people of Kauai, because when I go out and do community service events, I definitely represent everybody on this island. And so when I go out and do community service events, it shows that you know, I'm more connecting, and I'm not just representing the island but representing our families. And so that's definitely a big role as Miss Kauai USA.
Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you this in regards to some of the activities that you've been involved with, or what do you like, I guess, what are some of the things that you're enjoying about, you know, the role, or you know, being able to put on a tiara and walk around with a sash, but I mean, you know what I mean? Engaging community at another level besides that.
So I was only recently crowned. I was mm-hmm. crowned September 3rd, and it's only October 5th, so a month and 2 days. But I've done a beach cleanup with Surf Riders Kauai. It's a foundation for beach cleanups, and honestly, that's something that really touches my heart. I go out and I clean up the beaches whenever I swim, snorkel, or run on the beach on my own, and so finding a foundation that does that, it was really nice to get out and do community service events with a team of
mm-hmm,
people, and
right.
you know, and getting out 500-plus pounds of trash, hard plastic, nets, it really did make a difference, and I couldn't definitely have not done it on my own. And that was one of my favorite projects, because I've done that recently. And then I've also done the Rice Street Block Party. I've done an appearance over there. And it was really nice to see the new layout of the Rice Street, of what it can be like after, with this grant. So.
Yeah, so what did you think about that town celebration, that party, that block party? Was it fun? Was it good?
Oh, yeah, good
Should
fun.
They do it more often?
Yeah, they said first annual. Yes, yes, uh-huh. I definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, and there the year go. After, and the year after. Nice. It would be awesome.
So, I don't know if you got a chance to ask Molly this, but she's visiting from New Jersey doing a research
yeah.
project on energy. Do you think about your energy consumption? Do you think about your utility co-op, or have any kind of relationship with power in your house?
Yeah, well, solar power is one that we use.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was on Hawaii Island, when I was living in Hilo, a lot of times I would go down to South Point, and I would notice a lot of the pinwheels or, you know, for the wind energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that was really amazing to see. And then I noticed some on the east side over here. But for me, I live in Kalaheo, so I don't really come past Wailoa Bridge that often. But... but honestly, like to see subtle things like that is really amazing because, you know, you're using the nature to sustain energy. And mm-hmm. I thought that was really awesome. And then to see that you have a platform that definitely inspires that is great.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful also to see people who are actively pursuing positive things for their community in any form.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's in a journalistic setting or in more of a pageant setting, and either way, it's all about embodying the values that you represent. And it's really fun to be part of any kind of movement. So,
Well said. And I was just going to ask, being in this kind of age of Trumpism, what do you guys think in regards to the future when we have... maybe a shift in environmental regulations or kind of an emphasis on, you know, the things that you were talking about. I want to say those are the things that make America great again. Being how you said it, Molly, of getting involved in some type of endeavor that makes your community better.
For sure.
Like that's a really important thing.
Yeah.
Innovation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's awesome to find something that we're passionate about to make a difference in not just a personal level, but even a global scale. Finding renewable energy is definitely something on a global scale that you found, you know, and that you promote, and that's your what I would say a platform, something you stand for. And then for me, I love going out to the beach, but seeing a bunch of, you know, plate lunches, forks, like, on the beach unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and by leaving the place cleaner than I found it, it makes me feel like I'm making an impact on a global scale. And then for renewable energy, that's definitely something that, hey, changing to solar makes a huge difference. And it's like 5 minutes of my time picking up trash makes a huge difference. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. That, I don't know if you've heard that saying that somebody's going along the beach and throwing back the starfish into the ocean, and they say, "Why are you doing all that? There's a million of them."
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy says back, you know, it doesn't make any difference. And he says, it mattered to that one. So it's just about finding that one for you and
right.
acknowledging that you have the power as an individual to make your community stronger, you know, spread positive vibes and love all around, and make sure that people are happy and healthy around you,
mm-hmm.
and within yourself as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. And how would you guys say, you know, being, if you will, younger and of that age where, you know, I mean, I'll admit it, I'm 50. I'll be 55 not too long away.
Oh,
my 21 again.
Not 20. You know what I mean? So I'm twice as old as you young ladies are. My life is kind of, you know, more behind me than it is in front of me. You guys, your life is more in front of you than it is behind you. What are the things that you're going to, like, hope for in the work or the activities that you're doing now? These are some things I ask my students at Kapaa High School. You know, how do you see yourself in the future? Because I tease them that who's going to build the future? It's my building and construction 1 and 2 classes. For you guys that are on these projects, on following some passion, How do you leverage that for your future? I'll go with you, Molly, first, because you've been in here longer. I'm going to give Megan a little bit of time to think about that.
How I leverage my, my platform and how I think. Well, what I really want for people is to find things that they're passionate about, just like you said. I will try and leverage this platform as much as I can,
mm-hmm.
and for me right now, that is in a journalistic setting, like I'm saying. So I write for Smithsonian Magazine sometimes, and I have a website and a blog, electricamerica.org, Instagram, Facebook, so you can kind of follow along and become educated and follow along on this journey with me.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, the only thing that I find sustainable for people and individuals is activities that really make them happy and enrich their lives. So when I sort of had this moment when I was visiting the offshore wind turbines off the coast of Rhode Island, where I was on the boat and I was looking at the turbines and I was interviewing people who work on them, and I just felt a sense of joy, like very enriched, to be learning from them mm-hmm. and be living their day-to-day life for a small portion of time. And for me, that was sort of like a professional awakening, but that also is kind of fueling my personal passions and the idea that I need to stimulate my mind and always learn and be outside. So I kind of wish for other people and for myself long term to just be self-aware enough to acknowledge when things aren't working or when they are working and when you need a shift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first jobs are tough. But acknowledging what you're, if you're happy, what you like, what you don't like, it's always a journey, but it's well worth it once you kind of are finding your way.
Wise words, Weedhoppa. Good one. Now, Megan, you're on the spot.
Well, the question really was, like, what can we do for the long run? What's my vision for long run? To be completely honest with you, I don't know what I'm having for dinner tonight. So how am I, you know, to expect to give advice about what I'm going to do in a few years from now? Honestly, if you asked me what I was going to do after high school, when I graduated high school, it's definitely not what I am today.
Mm.
So I think that how we can further our future is by doing something today. And that's why I say, like, with 5 minutes of my time by... Okay, so I like going to the beach. And so if I'm just chilling on the beach or running, swimming, snorkeling, and I pass by trash, I don't just pass by, I pick it up. And that 5 minutes of my time makes a huge difference. And it's because 5 minutes today, 5 minutes tomorrow, like not even 5 minutes, sometimes it's 2 minutes. I did a Facebook Live before and I found so much trash in it. I realized it's not even been 2 minutes of recording, you know?
Nice.
And that's how I feel like we can better our future. Is like I don't know a single plan that doesn't incorporate do a little bit each day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I go with that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, I mean, be here now is an often used term to just remember that the present is really what we have.
Yeah.
Right? And this back to the sustainability movement and the thought of, okay, that seventh generation, right, of how we really need to be cognizant of in the future. Because the old model, right, has...
Not working. Will,
well, yeah, I mean, there just is some structural defects or flaws that are really apparent now that, you know, our carrying capacity for this planet has been severely taxed. You know, just episode after episode of whether it's climactic and catastrophic activities going on, whether it was hurricanes and fires, what's gonna happen this winter, to just mass mayhem, what we experienced in Las Vegas this weekend, the inhumanity of it all when you know we choose the path of war and aggression over peace and love when we have choice to go one way or the other. So it's nice to have fresh faces in the booth, so thanks, but it's also nice to hear a different perspective from, because most of my friends are my age, and usually when we hang out with our friends, we hang out with folks that kind of think a lot like us and kind of like the same thing, so it's good to broaden the conversation, if you will. So I'm glad that your email came in at a right time, and you were open this afternoon. And Megan, thanks for being flexible. I know we talked about maybe doing it last month, but it seems like this is a fine time to come on.
Hey, it worked out today. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters.
Yeah. And Aurelius, again, thanks for being volunteer of the month and being here every out-of-the-box Thursday when you can.
I'm here to take the calls.
There we go.
826-7771. We still have just over 15 minutes in the show, so if anyone has questions for our guests. Molly, I had one question.
Yeah.
Very intrigued by all of the alternative energy technologies that you have explored. I met a gentleman a few days ago who was describing OCG, ocean current generators.
Yeah.
And he had this idea, this vision of one big ocean current generator that would sit way out in the Gulf Stream and send electricity to the island. This thing would be about as big as an ocean liner. and its turbines would move so slowly, generating so much power, but the actual turbines move so slowly that even whales can kind of like swim through it and sharks can kind of meander around it. Hmm. Have you heard anything about ocean current generators?
Yeah, so there's actually two types of devices or technologies that are explored in the ocean. One is tidal and one is ocean. One has to do with actually the way the waves move and in relationship to the moon. So it has to do with that versus the actual tidal or wave energy. So there's two different ones that are explored. I haven't heard anything about one big one. I've really heard about like small-scale ones that would be deployed in mass. So both of those, I think, are in stages of exploration and maybe some pilot programs. Definitely not in the U.S., I think. Northern Europe is usually more advanced when it comes to alternative energy technologies. But it's definitely been integrated into the science. So as I mentioned earlier in the show, there's been a lot of research out of Stanford University on alternative energy and powering the world entirely by wind, water, and solar. And one of the things that Professor Jacobson talks about in his plans are tidal and ocean energy technologies. So a lot of states are considering them for their renewable energy plans. And I think they're definitely one of the lesser known technologies at this point.
Yeah, that's why I was so excited to hear about
it. Yeah. I think probably like the energy nerds know about it, but not a lot of no one really
this
outside
guy was
of
definitely
that.
One of those. Yeah.
But no, they're great. Anything that really uses natural resources and can be installed for the long term and doesn't require mining fuel and refining it and transporting it, I'm all for that. So any way we can work toward getting those online, I think it's a positive thing.
Mm-hmm. So there are prototypes. It's not in full swing yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly which one he was referring to, but that's definitely a technology that's under development.
And there's another one. You might find more on the Big Island when you're doing some investigations over there, field research, ocean thermal currents, or what is it? OTC, and it's that transfer of cold water being brought up and the energy that's produced from bringing temperature, colder water to warmer, and there's some physics that get kind of enacted when that happens.
Yeah.
And we can harvest energy from it.
It's amazing what's out there when you put your mind to it.
Sky's the limit.
You look around.
I wanted to, and I think Aurelius is going to answer phone, I wanted to go back to a question one of our callers earlier had about the Board of Land and Natural Resources and the composition of the Board of Directors. So this is straight from the Department of Land and Natural Resources website. The Board of Land and Natural Resources is composed of 7 members from land district and 2 at large, and the chairperson, the executive head of the department. So members are nominated and with the consent, so they're confirmed by the Senate and appointed by the governor for a 4-year term. No more than 3 members of the board may be from the same political party. Any member having an interest, direct or indirect, in any matter before the board must disqualify himself or herself from voting on or participating in the discussion of the matter. The Board of Land and Natural Resources convenes twice monthly to review and take action on department submittals, including land leases and conservation district use applications. Testimony from the public on program actions, development plans, permit applications, and all other BLNR actions are accepted and heard at this time. So that is from the Board of Land and Natural Resources, their page on the website of the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Our members are the chairperson of the DLNR. Her name is Suzanne D. Case. And as mentioned earlier by Brother Eric, reporting from the Big Island, Stanley Rohrig is a Hawaii representative. Keith Keone Downing is the at-large member. James A. Gomes from Maui is representing the Valley Isle. Thomas Oi is our Kauai member, And Thomas or Tommy Oy ran for the District 15 Democrat seat, I think challenged James Tokioka in the last election, but was not successful. And then rounding out the board are the Oahu Representative Samuel Ohu Gon, as well as Christopher Ewan, who is an at-large. And as Brother Eric had suggested, there were some questions as to some of the conflict of interest with some of these members of the Board of Natural Resources. Aurelius, you had a question from the phone caller, or no?
The caller was calling in about the TMT, which was an earlier subject. He didn't ask to go on air. So I guess he was just asking if that discussion is still up, what people think of what is, and we did talk about this, what is the actual need for another telescope on Mauna Kea when we have the Hubble telescope already
out there in space,
out there, yeah, beyond the atmosphere. It photographs pictures from the edge of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
The light horizon is something that is 14, just under 14 billion light years away. And one of the reasons they call it the light horizon is that you can't photograph light that hasn't reached you yet. So that's what makes our sphere of our known universe, is that we already have telescopes that can photograph the very oldest light in the universe. So the caller was basically reemphasizing that question of why do we need another
telescope?
Yeah, I'd love to know the answer, but thank you, caller, for calling in with that question.
There we go. Well, we are getting to the top of the hour, 10 minutes away from the evolution. I have another one of these underwriter. This is a special event about King Kamuali'i Day coming up, so please pay attention, or maybe right now make the exit to the nearest restroom and find yourself back here at 6 o'clock.
Hey, no, I know Kaumualii Ho'olauleʻa on Saturday, October 7th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Old Waimea Sugar Mill. Honoring Kauai's beloved king, festivities include performances by Kauai Hula Halau, music, make it and take it handcrafting with kupuna, and an award ceremony for student art contests on Kaumualii as a youth. Local food, snacks, and crafts available for purchase. More information at kauaikingkaumualii.org or call 808-652-0021.
KKCR's Fall Fun Drive will begin on November 2nd. Starting now, you are invited to make a tax-deductible donation to KKCR, which will automatically enter you into our Early Bird Drawing. The Early Bird Drawing winner will win a two-night stay at the majestic Hanalei Bay Resort in Princeville. Mahalo nui to the Hanalei Bay Resort for their generous donation to our Early Bird Drawing winner and for supporting Kauai Community Radio. KKCR is volunteer-driven and listener-supported. We depend on your support to stay on the air. Our goal for this drive is $60,000. Help us get there by making a sustaining or a one-time donation today. For more information on the Early Bird Drawing Prize and to donate securely online, visit kkcr.org or call us at 826-7774.
Well, there we go. We are looking at the 5:55 action of our clock or thereabouts, and we've been joined in the booth by two young lovely ladies from New Jersey. Our friend, she's handing me her card. There we go, with her program Electric America. Molly Seltzer. Guy, even looking at it, I have a hard time pronouncing it. Yeah, and she is the chief storyteller. And tell us a little bit more. Your project, Electric America,
yes.
And pass this business card to my friend Aurelius.
Yeah, so Electric America is literally finding the people and places powering the U.S. So there's over 7,000 power plants in the U.S. I will not get to them all, but I will certainly go on some journeys that are pretty fun and informative about where your power comes from and get to hang in really cool communities like this one in Kauai. So I'm really grateful to be here. If you guys want to follow me, you can definitely follow me on Instagram at electric_America. Feel free to send me some messages or tag me and stuff. My Facebook is Electric America, one word. And then I also have a lot of writing online that's at www.electricamerica.org. You'll see some cool photos there and some stories, both from my time on the road and what it's like to travel so much, as well as some of my more newsy and professional stories that have been published in Smithsonian Magazine. Mm-hmm. So please, please connect with me. I'm really excited to be on the ground and meeting so many new people. So thank you so much for having me, and aloha from Electric America.
Well, aloha from KKCR. Thanks for joining us. No pun intended, but your future looks very bright and electric. I wanted to just put it out there because you probably already know this, but you know, on Oahu at Iolani Palace, they had electricity there well before it was common in other metropolitan areas of the mainland. So. Just
good, good place to be.
A little aside there, Iolani Palace is, you familiar with the place?
No.
No.
Check it out. Where's your next destination? Are you going
I'm going to the Big Island. I'm going to hopefully see the geothermal plant there. Mm-hmm. And that's the main destination for me.
Are you going to make it to Oahu a little bit?
I don't think so this time.
Uh-huh. Okay. You'll have to come back and visit Iolani Palace.
Yeah.
It was the royal palace, if you will, the home of the ruling monarchs at the time of the overthrow, and then some before that. And yes, oftentimes it's referred to, you know, a very modern building at that time. So thanks, Molly, for joining us here, and good luck on your endeavors both on the Big Island and back on the mainland, as they call it often. And I'm glad again that you reached out and were able to find us very easily. Megan Ann Souza, thanks for joining us here on Kauai Community Radio and representing Kauai in many different ways.
Beautifully.
Yes. And any last words or any thoughtful pieces of advice or mana'o that you would like to share with listeners of Kauai Community Radio?
Oh, well. I guess advice would just be yourself, because that's a typical pageant quote. Mm-hmm. But honestly, be yourself. And that's what definitely pageants have taught me. And I definitely recommend people go, girls go, and go do pageants. because honestly, even with my Bachelor's of Science degree in Kinesiology and Exercise Sciences, when I was Miss Paradise Kauai 2016, I did an event and I met this couple, and the husband was a physical therapist, and meeting him got me into my job, and I've been a physical therapist assistant for over a year now. And it wasn't just the fact that I was there, good timing, being that I was Miss Paradise Kauai at the time, but the fact also that I had interview skills from pageants, and being able to be on the spot and being asked any question, you know, it really did help me in my interview as well. And so being that was back then, and now that I am Miss Kauai USA, I can't wait for the new opportunities that come my way then.
Yeah. Well, wonderful.
And the future is bright, and you can also follow my journey.
Let's do it.
Miss Kauai USA. I am on Facebook, Miss Kauai USA 2017 to 2018. I'm also on Instagram as at Miss Kauai USA. And I'm also just going to pitch this out here that I'm also asking for any sponsors or local businesses that would like to put their business in our program booklet for Miss Hawaii USA 2018, as I vie for that title.
Good luck with that.
Thank you. You can always email me with any questions about that. My email is meganannsouza@gmail.com. That's meganannsouza@gmail.com.
Well, speaking of vision, Megan, I totally see you taking the title.
Oh, thanks for the confidence.
There we go. Thank you guys for joining us, ladies. And Aurelius, mahalos again.
Aloha.
Going out with little Tom Petty, just like we started. And wishing you all the best. Love your loved ones. Let them know you love them. And find some new ones. And, make love, not war. We'll see you in a month. Aurelius, you'll be here next week. Do you know who's hosting?
I do believe that it's our very own Jonathan Jay next week, and I'll be sharing the show with them. Yeah,
nice.
So tune in next week, Thursday, 4 to 6.
Aloha.
With good old Bucks made milk.